All right. Well, good evening. Welcome to our Wednesday night continuing I tell you what, these Torah reports are challenging. And sometimes it puts a little pressure on you. And, you know, when you go through them and you see the duties of what we're going to go to, the burdens of the tabernacle, what had to be done. I mean, I don't want to get it too far ahead of myself. But anyway, it's been a while since I've been here. I missed a few Wednesdays. So, but anyway, this was no just run out there a couple of hours and you're done. This took time. It took preparation. And it's no different than coming here. This takes a little time and preparation to deliver this. You know, some things that, you know, I'm going to say tonight, it's not going to be so popular. It might not sit well with us. But I'm going to give it the way I get it. And I hope that everybody, at the end of the day, everybody's okay with it. So I want to start right here on slide 58, because I thought this was very important, especially in time and right now, which we live in, what stuff that we go through. And I think we all need this. The cost of having a covering is that you are separated from outside, and so as we walk under or in the covering of Messiah, we recognize that we are to be separated from the things of the world that tries to lure us away from His presence and cause us to indulge in fleshly lusts that we are to flee from. Testing. Okay. I mean, you know, we need a covering. And to be separated from the outside, it means that we got to be in the house. That's the bait. It represents the house. Because inside the house, there's protection. There's safety. There's comfort in the house. Not always peace, because sometimes we're going to go through stuff. Everybody has something a little different at times that we're working on. But that's the security of being in the house, that you're guarded. You know, during the Passover, he said, come inside and close the door. You need to be in the house, into the protection. And we know who that protection for us. Is Messiah. He's our covering. He's our protection. If you allow Him. If we stay in the house. I can't stress that. You know how we really need to stay in there. The Hebrew word for covering is meseh, Strong's 4372, a covering, and come from the root word kasah, Strong's 3680, which means cover, conceal, clothed, and hide. Scripture says, he that dwell in the secret place of the Most High, we're going to abide in the shadow of the Almighty. He's going to be our covering. He's going to be our protection. But we have to remain in the house. First of all, we have to be obedient. It starts with obedience. And if we can't to submit, and we're going to get to a little further here, hey, brother. Good to see you. Come on in, brother. Good to see you. Nice to have y'all. And He is our protection. The Hebrew word kasah, Strong's 3680, is used in Michelle in Proverbs 10:12. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all transgressions. And we see Kepha telling us in Kepha Aleph, 1 Peter 4:8, and above all, have fervent love for one another, because love covers a great number of sins. And we know that love, that's that agape love. But the transgressions, I had to get a little help with that just a few days ago, that we see all transgressions and a great number. So what is it? Does it cover it all, or does it just cover a great number? Well, the transgressor is stuff that that's able to be forgiven. Because we know Yeshua said, if you put me down, I'm going to give you my words. If you put me down, that's forgiveness. He said, but the one who speaks or blasphemes against the set apart spirit, there is no forgiveness. So these transgressions, we have to be careful in our lives what we do. So this is transgression that can be forgiven. That's about the best I can explain it, because it was explained to me that way. When we understand the tabernacle and its designs, we begin to see that the coverings and the screens of the courtyard that Gershon was to bear speaks of that fervent love of obedience that we ought to have in the Torah. And by doing so, we are able to extend true love toward each other and lift up each other and cover one another. And like I said, now that love, he's not speaking of just a friendship love, well, or buddy-buddy love. That's that agape that we need to have. We know Yeshua had that. He walked it. He taught us how. If we just take our time, like I said, read slowly and be obedient to what he's saying. Fervent love and obedience. First of all, we had to submit to the hand. I still remember that message. You know, when he talked about how we submit to the hand. We're going to get to the part where he talked about being under his yoke. That was a great message. I love that message. But if you're not under his yoke, which we're going to get to, but if I don't want to go too fast. Oh, but you know what? I got to back up. I'm sorry. I want to talk about that. Back to 58. We recognize that we are separated from the things of the world and try to lure us away from his presence. Why? Because it's something I have to read. No, just bear with me. And Yochanan Aleph, 1 John 2:15. Why he tells us to be? We need this covering? Because of this. I knew I was missing something. He says, do not love the world, nor the things which are in the world. Because if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I know we got a little further on that love, but we got to get back to this. He said, because all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust of it. But the one doing desire of Elohim remains forever. We have to remain forever. We have to be obedient. And we have to have that love that he's teaching us. Right now, I think he's teaching us how to love, that kind of love that we need to have for one another. I was getting way too far ahead of myself. All right, now let me get back, catch up. Bearing burdens. We see the use of the English word burden being used in describing what part of service of the priesthood entails. Often a burden is seen as a negative thing. However, this is not always the case. The definition of a burden can be used to describe something that is carried or a load, as in referring to a cargo ship carrying tons of cargo. It can also be defined as one's duty or responsibility, and in a negative sense, it can also give reference to something that is worrisome and oppressive. And I know we go through these things. We all have burdens. You know, but we can't look at them as always being negative, because as we have responsibility as a body, as a church, and we're going to get to it. Some of these slides that, man, I just, like I said, it's a burden right here to deliver this, because I'm feeling the pressure. But it's not always negative, because we all have responsibilities. When we understand the correct application of this Hebrew word used here, we see these burdens were not oppressive and worrisome in nature, but rather were the duty and responsibility each required of each. The Hebrew word that is used here for bearing burdens is masa, Strong's 48:53, which means bear, carry, support, tribute, which is carried or brought. A load, lifting. And this word comes from the primitive root verb, nasa, Strong's 5375, which we had already looked at the start of this Torah portion, which has the meaning to lift, carry, take, accept, accepted, arise, brought, bring forth, and born. So we know that these 12 tribes that were spaced out around the tabernacle, we know only a certain ones that were there to guard it in the middle or around to keep everybody else so you don't get destroyed. Because we know the job of the Levite. They weren't no sissies. We read that in the last Torah report. They weren't no sissies. But then some of them had the job of carrying the ark, and there was certain ones. Everybody had a part. It wasn't just these guys had to do this. You know, in the Levitical order, in all these guys, how he said that? All priests are Levites, but not all Levites are priests. So everybody had a job to do in that division. The instruction given for service to the priesthood reveals what their individual roles entailed and what they were to lift up and carry and be responsible for. In Galatians 6:5, for each one shall bear his own burden. And we see the exact same concept in the Greek with the word that is being translated as burden bearing, fortion, Strong's G 5413, which means a load, carry, and comes from the word pharo, Strong's 5342, meaning to bear, carry, bring forth, endure, produce. You know, like I said, we're going to carry one of those because sometimes somebody's going through something. You know, somebody else might be feeling the pressure that you're not feeling. You might be having a good day. You might be at the best of your game. But you know what? Doesn't mean somebody else ain't feeling the pressure. So that's what he's saying. We ought to bear one another's burden. We are whole, a body here. We're not individually set up here. This ain't the silver side, and over here it's the hurdle side. He ain't here, so I can talk about him. You know, we're a body here. And who's he coming back? For a bride, without spot, without wrinkles. So we're here to lift up one another, encourage one another. We're able to see and learn is that to carry a burden represents that which one is required to take up and bring or produce. As a royal priesthood, we have been given our clear instructions on what we should be doing, well, what we should be taking up or carrying, and as a result, have the good fruit of righteousness being produced in our lives. Yeshua tells us what we ought to take up. In Mark 8:34, and calling near the crowd with his taught ones, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his stake, and follow me. These are some big shoes to fill. When you say that, when you're gonna dedicate your life to follow him, be prepared. Because it's not gonna always be just a smooth, dusty road. You're gonna have bumps in these roads. You're gonna encounter situations. He never said, following me is gonna be easy. We know that. We know something. You're going to fail. But he already knew that. He knew you would fail. He knew you would stumble. He's there. You don't just give up. He's there. So this is a big step. And what it shows, he said, to produce good fruit of righteousness. Very another important slide. In Matthew 11:29-30, it said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your being. For my yoke is gentle and my burden is light. He didn't say the journey is going to be a piece of cake, but he said, but if you follow me, if you stay in the house, you'll be guarded, you'll be protected, even though it gets rough. It was rough in Egypt. When the plagues were gone, that wasn't like I heard about it. That wasn't an Exodus first. They were there in the midst of it, and it's no different than us today. You know, we can look at the parable when he said, "Master, didn't you sow good seeds?" He said, "What?" He said, "Let them both grow together." He said, "Well, you want us to go yank them out?" He said, "No. Why are you yanking up the tares? You're gonna yank up the wheat also." He said, "Let them grow together." But it makes a difference because you're in the house. And one thing about in the house, there's rules in the house. You don't walk around lawlessness. If you do, you're not following him. So just to clarify, in serving and bearing burdens as a set-apart priesthood in Messiah, it is a joy and a delight, and it requires discipline and obedience to carry out the correct requirements in order that the whole body should not be found lacking as each part does its work. It's about to get heavy here in just a moment. But we all have a job to do. The Hebrew word for serve is abad, as already discussed above. In verse 31, we see the phrase, and this is the duty of their burden. The word for duty is mishmereth, Strong's 49:31, which means to guard, watch, charge, duty, guard, post. When I was going through the slide, and I'm trying to think of what I want to say, let me tell you, sometimes you get that laughing moment, because this next word, this was me. And this is the feminine of Mishmar, Strong's 49:20, which means place of confinement, jail, prison guard, watch, observe, and come from the primitive root shamar, Strong's 8104, which we have certainly come to know as a word often referred to throughout the Torah portions, and means to keep watch, tend to, preserve, attend, and guard. So if you, let me see how I was saying that to myself. If you shamar and mishmaret, you won't be mishmar. Let me tell you, I was in a prison confinement before. I was in jail before. And the prison guard, they're watching over you. And a watch and observance. Well, let me tell you, I'm so glad that night, that was one of our people. He was the jailer. Oh, boy. That was my one time spending the night, and that was my last time. I've been there twice, but I only spent one night, and boy, let me tell you, it's not a place you want to be. I promise you. It may be a little overwhelming when trying to consider all these words and their meanings. Yet why I am emphasizing this is to highlight that we have a great responsibility to carry out the good works that have been prepared beforehand for us to do them and to walk in them, and that is to do and walk in the Torah of Elohim as we walk as Messiah walked and stayed in him. Bam! It's been prepared beforehand. And I wish we would have had this beforehand. We could have used this a long time ago. These slides. I'm so glad that we have them now, that it's available now. I don't know about beforehand, but we need them now. But the key is, you have to stay in him. You have to be in the house. And then once you're in the house, when the door is closed, we know who's the door. That's the only way to get into the house. You got to go through the door. Unless your house don't have a door. But we know who that door is. And that's Yeshua. There's no other way. You have to go through him. Now the duties of the burden of the Gershonites were, as mentioned, the coverings and doorways. And so we must recognize our need to faithfully bear these burdens of prayer and intercessions for one another, as we also recognize that Yeshua is the door, and we are to diligently guard all that he commands. For his Torah is to be upon the doorpost of our hearts, to which we have surrendered as bondservant forever in drinking of his blood and eating of his flesh by keeping the feast of Pesach and eating the meal. Boy, and that was so beautiful. If I didn't tell y'all, all y'all plates and designs and everything, my wife and all, it was all beautiful. That was great time. I love that Pesach meal. All right, here we go. And so in him, we are brought near to the covenant of promise. By his blood and by his piercings, we are fixed to his doorposts as his forever. And so we take up our responsibility to walk in his command and to do that which is required by each and every one of us. All right. I'm not going to go electronically. I'm going to go, because I know you probably don't know what in the world is that slide talking about. So let's go to Exodus chapter 21. I know we had this already. And these are the right rulings which you are to set before them. When you buy a Hebrew servant, he serves you 6 years. And the seventh, he goes out free for naught. We know that there's these countings that I know we're working on. 6 years and 7 years, he's a free man. If he comes in by himself, he goes out by himself. If he comes in married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master has given him a wife, and she has borne him sons and or daughters, the wife and her children are her master's, and he goes out by himself. And if the servant truly says, I love my master, I think we missed over this part. He never said first, if I love my wife or I love my children. He said, if I love my master. That's where we got to start, with the head. So if you hit tonight, if you love your master, and if the servant truly says, I love my master, my wife and my children, let me not go out free. Then his master shall bring him before Elohim, and shall bring him to the door or to the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Amen. What are we talking about right here? Piercing. And we are fixed to his doorpost. Because when you become his, you're his forever. You're not here part-time. I'm not here part-time. That's why I said what I said when I was in the baptistry. Though none go with me, still I'm going to follow. It's tough. It's not always easy days. But you know what? I'm nailed to the post. My two bosses, I tell you what, I love them to death. I gave them my word when I said, boss, you never have to worry about me ever leaving y'all just to go jump with another company. And what I did, I gave them a big spike nail. I made it pretty. I painted it. I said, this is for you to hang in your shed. Because this is my word to you. I want you to know how serious this is. And they still have it in their shed hanging. I gave one to each of them. They said, what is this? I said, I just want you to know this is my word to you. And this is how we got to be serious. But you know what? We got to love our master. And let him do the work in us. Let him take that all and put you to his post. Ain't that right, Pop? That's what I'm talking about. Let me read that again. And so in him we are brought near to the covenant of promise by his blood and by his piercing. We are fixed to his doorpost as his forever. And so we take up our responsibility to walk in his command and do that which is required by each and every one of us. And like I said, when I was younger, I did dumb things. I was pierced to the world at one time. I'm glad to hold clothes. Moving on. As for the sons of Merari, register in Numbers 4:29, register them by their clans and by their father's house. Register them from 30 years old and above, even to 50 years old, all who enter the service to do work in the tent of appointment. And just so y'all know, I'm about to turn 50 on Sunday. That means I'm free. Really? Really? Is that what it's saying? Just so y'all know, I'll be 50. but that don't mean I get away from this. That's not what it's saying. And this is the duty of their burden, according to all their service of the tent of appointments, the boards of the dwelling place, and its bars, and its columns, and its sockets, and the columns around the courtyard, with their sockets, and their pegs, and their cords, with all their equipment, and all their service, inside and outside. So that's work in the house, that's work outside the house. You might have to go hold that door open. And assign to each by name the equipment of the duty of their burden. Huh. You know, I probably don't do a whole lot of work in the house, you know, except for the feast days or when the ladies need me. But when I walk outside these doors, I got a duty. It ain't just for the Silvites. It ain't just for the Morrisites or the Demarites. Huh? It ain't just for Herbinites. You know, this part of the message, it's not about to be so popular. I'm not the only one that's got duties around here. We all have duties. It ain't just the pastor's duty. This is the service of the clans of the sons of Merari, as all their service of tent of appointment under the hand of Ithamar, sons of Aharon, the priest. You know, we come over here, it takes time out here in the heat to do things out there. If you got to make time. We're all busy. We all got busy lives. But when you don't have time for the house, I don't see that correct. We got to make time for his house. I know we have our team Olive and team Tav. You know what? To me, no team. Your family in here. So you know what you got to do? You got to put your big boys on or big girls on, like I did tonight, because it don't matter the color. Compliments of Pastor Charlotte. Put your big boys on and make time for the house. Not just your dwelling place. It's out here. That's work here. That's what they were doing back then. They didn't give Moshe, I can't be here today. I got Bayou Marines calling, or I got a fish. We all got excuses. We can make excuses. We make time for everything else. We got to start making time for his house. And we're going to get to the spot. We're going to see because why? Because I better move on. But when we don't, because we want to say, well, brother, you, where were you when we poured the foundation? And when the building was here in Katrina, I wasn't here. But I'm here today. I'm here faithfully since I've been here out there. Not just in here, out there. Because there's work inside and outside. I just read to these guys. There's work to be done. The Hebrew word Merari, Ma'ari, Strong's 48:40, means bitterness. As his name comes from the word Ma'ar, Strong's 48:43, which means to be bitter, trouble, or enraged. Sometimes when you're out here doing the work and you seem like you're the only one doing the work, this is what happens. And it shouldn't. And the one that's watching at home, good, I hope they're watching. Please. And I hope they're, at least they watch this part anyway. Because there's work to be done. Like I said, it's not my church because I sit on this side or you sit on this side. We're a body. He ain't coming for half. He's coming for a whole. Morello was in charge of the columns around the courtyard, their sockets and pegs and cords, as well as the boards of the dwelling place with its bars, columns, and sockets. Remember, no matter if you're just a little socket, the tent can't even go up. So don't think because, well, I'm this or I'm that. No, you are valuable. Not just around here. You're valuable to the master. Their burdens include the very things that bring structure and stability to the tabernacle. What? You know, if we ain't taking care of the outside, we definitely take care of the inside. So what people, how do we expect to grab anybody if we falling down and look like we shabby? Come on, man. We can do better. We're going to get to the part where we said about, we might be just a few in number, but we're solid. We're going to get to that. What is very interesting to take note of here is that the bitter ones, so to speak, were given a very heavy task. A task that would keep them busy and occupied for a long time. Trust me, when you're out there and working, not just the grass, I'm not counting the buildings over here where we get company coming from out of town. They want to come to clean sheets. They want to come to a place that's clean.
Amen. Yeah.
Told you, this stuff's pressure. Burden. It's burdensome. They had the great physical weight to carry, and they would be needed to set up the columns and fixtures before the other parts could be assembled. They would also be last to take their equipment down, first in and last out. That sounds like almost like a captain. We can relate to that, some of us, because we're the first one to our boats and we're the last one to leave. To me, I told Brother Chad the other day, this is the worst part of the job, but it's the best part. When you clean that boat at the end of the day. But boy, it's burdensome. Because you just want to leave it. But how you think that would look when I got customers coming the next day? So we're no different out here. How you think it would look if we don't tend to the property? You know, some of us got children. I understand that. I really do. We got children. We got grown up. Look, that's what I say. When the age of 50, I guess when I turn 50, I don't have to do nothing no more. Is that what the scripture is saying? You got children, bring them with you. You know what? They can pick up paper because there's paper out there to pick up. I don't need to go back and, like I just read, and point you out a job. If you need to, trust me, I can. I'm good at it. I've learned over the years of my years in the oil field as a captain. When I was a deckhand, I go, "Cap, I'm dead. I've done all my work." He said, "Really? Come here." So you see, when I got in that seat, when they would say, "Hey, Cat, what you want me to do?" Let's start with the dishes first, because I need me a good dishwasher. And after that, then I'm going to take you down to the engine room. Now, that we always say all the time, where the critters are at in the village. That's work to be done. That's the point that I'm trying to make here. It's not just a one-person job here. It takes all of us. Look, if you don't know what to do, just ask. Look, anything you do is appreciated, no matter what part it is. And if it's something that's a job that's pretty out of our reach, then come to the pastor. Pastor. I'm sure we can come up with a plan. But what you can do, come out here and help. There's work to be done here and outside. We all love the AC. Feels good. This carries a great lesson for us today, and that is that we ought to not give any time to allow the root of bitterness to grow. And to do that, we should be serving with our all. Be all in. When you say you love your master, trust me, you think just because you love, you think he gave you the best jobs? No. You did, you was a slave. But you loved your wife and your kids, so you want to stay there. So you know, but you got work to do. Often the hardest tasks and the seemingly mundane tasks would cause many to be bitter about. However, without them, the stability and structure would be weak. We see this today in many ways as representing that which is done behind the scenes within a community. Often the heavier tasks are not thanked or publicly appreciated, yet they are as vital important to the tabernacle as the other services that may have a more glossy, likable look to them. I gotta take a shot of water on this one. Because that mundane, I didn't know what that was. I didn't know what it was. So of course, come in Google. And how we say that? We live in a wonderful information age. When you don't know, ask Siri. She knows. What is mundane? Mundane is a person who does not belong to a particular group according to the members of that group. That's just one of the definitions. You belong to a group. You are important. Even if you just the socket, the building can't go up without you. Not one man show. So, mundane. You are important. It's not, we don't belong to a specific group. This side of the church is better than this side, and this side is better than that side. We're a family in here. So family matters. Family duties. That trash outside, if it's in the yard, my trash is your trash. My grass is your grass. My building over there is your building. My toilet is your toilet. If you don't like to put your hands in there, put gloves on. And you know what? It takes time. Because you can go in there and you can sweep it up right quick. Come on now. Spend a little time with it. Smell a little bit around it. Yeah, brother. Not many people enjoy the mundane task. Yet, what we must learn from this is that we must not grumble and be bitter about doing the little things that most would scoff at and pass on to others. I know that don't happen over here. But let me rephrase that. It should not happen over here. Because if anybody had the right to complain, and it would have been Yeshua. I got to feed them again? Oh boy. This is a tough slide, because most people will show up after all has been set up. However, the true heart of a servant of Yeshua should be the opposite. To the I am here to be served, I am here to be served mentally, and instead should be willing and submissive to say, here I am, what can I do to assist? I tell you what, if I was a fighter, like Mike Tyson right now, and you were just a little guy walking there, kapow! Well, you just got one of them with this slide. We should be a yielded, we should will humble ourselves to him. Because you, after all, you're not doing it for me, I can promise you. Because I'm going to show up here with or without you. I'm going to help take care of the property with or without you. What can I do to help? We got to start changing our thinking. This is what the Torah does. It don't set you out there to dry, hang you out to dry by yourself. We did that for years. That's why when these messages come up, we start murmuring and complaining. Who do you think he is? Did we really get that attitude? Is that the Torah way? We Matthew 23:11, but the greatest among you shall be your servant. What is also very interesting to take note of when looking at a number of those who were active and serving in the tabernacle from 30 to 50 years old, out of the total of these were registered from 1 month old and above, is that Merari had the most who were serving while they were the least in total number. Look, if we probably take a poll down here, we probably the least in number of churches in church-wide statistics. If we probably visit every church, we might be the least with the members, but don't mean we're weak. The Kohathites, 1 month old and above, 8,600, and those in active service, 30 to 50 years old, equals 2,750. Like I said, I'm not sure about these numbers, but we're going to trust that they are what they say they are. That would render a total of 32% of the registered ones in Kohath who are actively serving. The Gershonites, 1 month old and above, 7,500. And those in active service, 30 to 50 years old, 2,630. That would render a total of 35% of the registered ones in Gershon who are actively serving. Merari, 1 month old and above, 6,200. And those with active service, 30 to 50 years old, 3,200. That would render a total of 51% of the registered ones in Merari who are actively serving. These simple math tells us a great deal. Merari had less time to think about their bitterness as they had a job to do. When you are doing what you are tasked to do, then there will be little time to be bitter and groan. That means no complaining. Just come out of here. Come do some work. Come, you know, that's stuff to do. Y'all ladies, y'all getting your tech would have to be done and all. Hey, go a little extra. It's fine. Look, you know what? It includes me, because if I'm home, I'm not working, my wife will tell you. I come with her. If your husband or something at home, and you know, drag him out. Hey, baby, come give me a hand. When bitterness sets in, productivity drops drastically. And here the bitter ones had the heavy duty. Bitterness is a choice. And the simple cure for bitterness is to get serving. It's pretty simple. I mean, get your hands dirty. You might break a nail. My poor wife's nails break all the time. Constantly breaking. I hear it about it every day. What are you gonna do? Not do nothing? Just think we got only duties at our house to do and nothing here for his house? Shame on us. Verse 32 tells us that each one assigned their task and what equipment they would carry, so that there would be no strife and contentions or confusion among them as to who should do what. So that's that captain duty right there. If you don't know what to do, if you're looking for something to do around here, I know. I can help you. I see it because I'm outside. Especially in the little crack and crevices. This too is a great lesson for us today in that we each have been given various gifts and talents and responsibilities within the body. And what we see in the world today, especially in the workplace, is that when people do not know their tasks or duties and responsibility, much confusion and improvisation that could lead to disaster is often applied due to lack of direction and purpose. That's another word I looked up, and I didn't screenshot it, though, I forgot. But trust me, when I looked at that, and it gave several other definitions, and it really got a little rough. I wish I'd have, my bad on that. But if you don't know, like I said, maybe you're having trouble. This is why we get sometimes we get confused about what to do. How to take care of his place. Look, even if you got to bring your own equipment sometime, it's okay. If it breaks over here, you know what? It'll break at your house too. It don't make no difference where it breaks at. Amen. It's material. If you break, fix it. Don't hey, pastor, I broke my weed eater cutting your grass at the church. Really? That's what we're going to say? Responsibility within the body. Not with individuals. In the workplace, when a person does not have a clear, defined job description, then an employee can get very frustrated as to what he, she is allowed or not allowed to do and may end up in overstepping what they are actually required to do. Or they may unperform through lack of drive and direction. Now, I'm so glad we got a leader here that points in the right direction, not only in the scripture, but in our daily lives and living, if you need some direction. But when it comes to working, if you're still unsure, call a brother. Say, hey, man, if you did this today, what do you think about this, going to do this tomorrow or something? If you need help with something, call. But there's work to be done to maintain. What it's telling us, that the Gershonites and the Morari, they had a job to do, and their job was taking care of the tabernacle. And you know what? Our job is to take care of the tabernacle. It's for all of us. It's for the work of the body. We got a little mini camp coming up. I love mini camp. I sure hope someday I'm not working as much, because I want to fit in wherever I can fit in. It makes me wish I was mini too. Because when I see all these designs and all these stuff that Sister Randon puts up here, it is beautiful. It really is. But that takes work. It takes work. And then you think about it, look, you're in the air conditioning doing it. How good is that? Well, here with Merari, we see that each one was given a job description. Just think of if Pastor went around and had to do that. Hey, today you go cut the grass. Today you go weed eat. Today you pick up trash. Is that what he has to do? He has to assign you a job? Or do we expect our little ones to go do it? We're grown-ups, so to speak, so that there can be no question about what must or must not be done. And no question as to how a job should be done. That's it. Gird your loins. Grow up. Let's grow up. We got work to do. That's things that can be done. In the kitchen, in the house over there, in the yard, in here, inside and outside. That's work. It takes work. It takes you and I as a body to spend a little time. Hey, if it's just 1 hour, you can get a lot done, accomplished in an hour. It don't matter to me what day of the week it is, but the point is, let's do something. It's not one man show. Let me tell you something. When I was out there the other day cutting grass, 3 hours with the church lawnmower. 3 hours. I had to cut the levee twice. Because when it gets away, it makes it that much harder. Hey, this is service in the tabernacle. So I believe I'm off tomorrow from work. So you know what I'm going to be doing tomorrow? I'm weed eating. Tomorrow, weed eat a day. And look, my company has blessed me that if we need something, some help, they'll help us. They'll supply me with gasoline. They'll supply you with diesel. So it's not coming out of your pocket. All we just need is your help to show up. I'll go buy some spray. There's a couple boards that need changing. That's work. It takes a family. We have been given our clear instructions through the Torah and all the writings, and are expected to walk accordingly, knowing that what we can and cannot do, and how we are to do something and how we are not. You know, we see the parable that Yeshua spoke about when he said, look, why are you standing here idle? He said, well, go work in my field. So what they did, he said, send them out in the field. He come back at the ninth hour. Hey, why are you standing here? Nobody hired us. Man, get out there and go work. Come in the third hour, the last hour of the day. Why are you standing here idle? He said, nobody hired. Go work in my field. So when they came in the end of the day for pay, he paid them all the same. He paid me more than, he don't pay Pastor more than he pays me. Anyway, but what the point was, of the matter of the story was, everybody was created equal. Everybody got the same pay. But what happened? Well, I can't believe I worked all day and I got the same pay as you. Are we taking that attitude? We got that attitude, we got to go back to the beginning. We might as well start the Torah portion all over, because we ain't learned nothing. Knowing that we ought to guard against the danger of bitterness, because that's what happened. It causes bitterness. And so to stay free from bitterness, we must study and learn the word and know how we ought to serve and take the yoke of Messiah and bear his burden. So you don't think if you're under his yoke that you don't have nothing to do, then you're mistaken. So over there where I live, you got one cut the grass and you got one on the weed eater. And I know my job. Ain't that right, Pop? Yeah. He said, my boy, you weed eat all. It's all yours. Weed eat it. Yes, sir. And don't complain about it. We also recognize that Yeshua Messiah, who appoints, assigns each one's task. In Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, and he himself gave some as emissaries, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as shepherds and teachers. For what? For the perfecting of the set apart ones, to do the work of service, to a building up of the body of the Messiah. Like I said, when you out there doing, when you come in here to do a little work on your spare time, because we all got a little spare time, you're not doing it to glorify me. You're doing it for him. Not because I choose, hey, yeah. But because he's assigned you to this. Look, you want to follow him? Remember, you all to the door. You his. You all in. You nailed it. I love my master. So when you love your master,